It's Thursday, 11th of January, and you're listening to the Greencast. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cello.
Ciao.
Puce.
Hello.
And Catty.
Hello.
And that's it, because everyone else is working or ill in bed. I'm taking over as official co-host as of this week. And we've got a bit of a show today. About a dozen games have been announced in the last 12 hours, but we'll get to those. We've got a couple of pieces of news, as always. But first, what have you been playing this week, Cello?
I've been playing Batman Arkham Knight again, completing New Game Plus. Actually, haven't been playing the whole week, just literally started like 15 minutes before the podcast started, but I plan to go back to it, just been like crazy busy. And been playing a little bit of Total War Warhammer in anticipation of the Tomb Kings DLC, which is launching in a couple of weeks, and I'm really excited. That's all.
Fair enough. And Puce?
I've been playing, oddly, quite a lot of GTA Online for some reason that I honestly couldn't really tell you why I was, but I have been. And also my filler game of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. But yeah, I really couldn't tell you why I was playing Grand Theft Auto 5. I've just got the odd urge to start it up, and I've been doing that quite frequently this week for some reason.
GTA 5 I could understand, because it's a fun game, but the online bit, I hear nothing but horror stories.
Yeah, I think I've slowly earned myself a tenth of a wheel of a car. In all the playing I've done this week.
Yeah, I've found GTA Online is really only fun if you're in a closed session with a nice small group of people. Sort of like 8 people maximum, and that's a pretty good for races and things.
Hey, why don't you buy a shark card?
I'm deadly afraid of sharks.
And spending money. Both of those things together.
That's what I'm afraid of. I always get the two confused.
And Catty, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Kona, which we very briefly talked about in the Game of the Year podcast, but no one had played it, so we couldn't talk about it. It's a sort of a detective walking simulator. There's a little bit more you have to do than most, and I think there's less story because of it. But I'm only a couple hours in, and there's sort of a lot going on. There's sort of a little bit of murder mystery. There's a load of people who seem to be frozen by some supernatural wolves. It's all a bit confusing.
Is that the snow game?
Yeah, you drive around in the snow, even though the game starts in summer. You're driving along. You have a car accident, and then suddenly it's winter.
How long was that coma?
Well, the car's still running, so it couldn't have been that long. But, yeah, there we go. I've also been playing, for review, Squish and the Corrupted Crystal. Or at least I've been trying to, but that game has some problems with deciding what bombs are. And also how far you jump. And how high you can jump. And just jumping in general, it doesn't really play very well, which is disappointing.
So jumping's more like a suggestion than an actual command?
Yeah, pretty much. It's got running jumps, but you have to hold two buttons at once, and the two buttons it's mapped to, you can't physically hold down at the same time. So I've had to remap a lot of things. And then there's you have to hold down another button to jump further. It's a mess. It really is a bit of a mess.
So they've looked at the controls for, say, Super Mario 64 and thought, let's not do that.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, these control schemes for platform games that have kind of been sorted out for like 10 years plus now, we'll just scrap all that and just go our own way.
Only 10 years?
I was being on the cautious side.
I've been playing more Heat Signature, because it's a good game to stick on, and because you can pause it at any point, at literally any point. or just do 5 minutes and have something on your other screen to watch or listen to.
Yeah, it's also an absolutely fantastic game. I adore that thing.
Any interesting deaths?
I haven't played it. One very interesting death. When you like unlock a station, a space station, you can do a special mission for it, which starts you at the ship you have to steal from or kill people or do whatever. And the one interesting death is, as soon as I start this one mission, I'm out in space and without my ship, and I don't know what on earth's going on.
Oh.
So I can't really do that mission.
You might start with the capsule that's remote controllable, perhaps?
I went to the, to activate the remote control, but it wasn't available.
Yeah, that's
interesting. The capsule, the pod was destroyed or something along those lines. Other than that, it's a positive experience. I'm enjoying the game. If you set off an alarm, you can go and shoot the pilot, and then the alarm will stop because you're no longer heading towards an enemy station, so you can't be captured. Rather than kill the pilot, I decided to shoot at some fuel tanks, or these tanks that are attached to the squares that have the engines on. I just blew up the engines instead. It was quite effective, but I did have to fly myself home instead of autopiloting the ship.
So you just stranded the dead bodies wherever they were. Cruel, heartless man.
Thank you. Other than Heat Signature, I've also made a start on Metro 2033 Redux.
Yay.
For my Metro Diaries.
What are your initial thoughts? Have you ever played it before, or is this...
I've never played it. I stayed away from it because as far as I could tell, it was more horror than first-person shooter. But I've gone on to the Spartan difficulty, I believe it is, which apparently tones down the horror a bit. So far, so good. I've done the prologue, and the graphics are quite good. There's a couple of good scenes so far.
Yeah, from what I remember of the Metro games, they were certainly more shooter mixed with horror elements, but that always took sort of a step back to shooting and survival. Although I don't remember if I played it on a difficulty that made it that way.
Yeah, as far as you have two difficulties and six versions of the difficulty you can do, at least on the Redux versions. And that's Spartan or whatever the other option was. And then you have normal or hardcore or survival. So you can pretty much customize it.
Yeah, I think the don't the Redux versions include the Ranger mode as well, which is like the proper true hardcore sort of insane mode, isn't it?
That's right.
Oh, that's the mode where you can't even really buy ammo, isn't it? It's like stupidly expensive when you can.
Yeah, the hardest option is basically there is no ammo, you are going to die.
I also forgot, I played a little bit of Planet Coaster this week. By which I mean I booted it up, played, put down trees for about 2 hours and then called it a day. But that game's fun. It's the best forest building simulator I've ever played. if I get round to putting down any rides, I'll come back and let you guys know how that is.
At this point, that's just a bonus, isn't it? You've already had your money's worth from planting trees, so...
Yeah, definitely. Although I'm very tempted to make a complete copy of either Thorpe Park or Alton Towers, and just see if I can completely recreate it from memory.
That'd be quite interesting, actually, comparing your memory's version of it to the actual real thing.
I think the only problem I would have would be I don't exactly remember what the non-roller coaster rides are, particularly the kid rides. That I can't think off the top of my head what all those are. But the roller coasters are pretty good. I can probably do pretty easily.
Doesn't Planet Coaster have Steam Workshop support?
It does, yes.
So I imagine there's already a plethora of theme parks already created. Like, actual theme parks.
I'm not doing it to be first. I'm doing it to have something to do.
Sorry, I just mean you could build your memories version and then compare it to other people's.
I've typed in Thorpe Park and there are a lot of them, but most of them look like they're just a single ride. Oh no, there's a full park. Oh, that looks very accurate to how I remember things. Oh dear, that's good.
Perhaps you've already done it and sent it back in time.
Yeah, you've done it already in your subconscious while you were sleeping one night.
The person who created it is currently playing H1Z1, so... Oh god, the zombies!
Last I heard, H1Z1 didn't have any zombies.
You know, that's the... they renamed the King of the Kill to straight H1Z1 and renamed what was H1Z1 to just Survive. Just to be super confusing.
Crikey. Speaking of ridiculous things, people have been on the new PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds test server and discovered that the new rarest loot box items are incredibly rare. Some taking, on average, 80 years to appear.
That's a lot of time.
Is this from the free crate or from the one that they expect you to buy for keys?
That's the free crate. The purchased crate.
With the purchased crate, it'll take $1,600 and 5 years of dedicated playtime.
That's it. I was just trying to find... this is just getting ridiculous. I can understand you want it to be rare, but 80 years? Really?
Yeah, these probabilities on things are ridiculous. I mean, for the free ones, I suppose it's not so, but it's still ridiculous, because if you want something in particular and that one thing is all that you wanted, it's like... Surely you're not going to spend that time, because that's ridiculous. That's an insane amount of time to expect anyone to grind.
Yeah, if you purchase the maximum 6 crates a week, you can expect roughly 2.4 of them to be biker crates and 2.4 to be desperado crates on average. To purchase the 10,000 biker crates you'd expect to need for a single black sleeveless biker jacket, it would thus take 4,166 weeks, or just under 80 years, according to Ars Technica.
I mean, look at it this way. They're clearly dedicated to keeping this game going for as long as possible. We'll still be playing this when we're 90, apparently.
I suppose that's a good point, because there was some confusion over Bungie's whole, we want Destiny to run for 10 years. Or we have a 10-year Destiny plan, or something along those lines. And PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds just has taken that and dialed it up to 8.
Yeah, they've inadvertently confirmed that it's going to exist for 80 years. So. I mean, the thing with probabilities, of course, is that there's just as much chance as you getting it on the first crate as getting it on the 4,000th. But the fact that to sort of... See, the thing is, it's, you're not even guaranteed to get it after that amount either. It's just that's on average how many it would take. But it's just ludicrous.
I mean, you can understand why. They don't earn enough money from just selling games, so now they're trying to earn money off the Steam marketplace.
Yeah, they've clearly not earned enough money from all the millions of sales that it's had already.
Yeah, so they've got it says on here that plenty of individual loot crate items are going for multiple hundreds of dollars on the marketplace at the moment. And I don't know what the developer cut is, but I know there is some.
I do find it interesting that they kind of reneged on the idea of a free crate, because the plans originally were that they were going to eliminate free crates entirely when it launched. But the outcry has obviously made them renege on that, but just made the likelihood of you getting anything interesting out of it ridiculous.
I think the really disappointing thing is, I'm guessing, because it doesn't actually say at the top of this article, but I'm guessing the item that they're talking about is this black sleeveless biker jacket. If I'm going to waste 80 years trying to get an item, I want it to at least be a full pink Darth Vader suit.
You're not going to let that go, are you?
Never.
Right, moving on from that. It's been announced that Psychonauts 2 has been delayed out of 2018. It's supposed to release at some point this year, but due to the size and scope of the game, they've pushed it to next year. Potentially.
Tim Schafer game delayed. Shock.
Yeah, I don't think anyone saw this coming.
I mean, delays. I'd sooner things be delayed than rushed out. I mean, if it ends up being good because of it, then it's a good thing, but... It just seems like no one can gauge how long these things are going to take when they announce them up front, especially when they take money and things for them.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem with this, because obviously Psychonauts 2 was at least partly funded by Fig.
Yeah, it's so Fig.
This is another crowdfunded game that Double Fine has had to push back because they've underestimated the size and scope of the game.
Yeah, Broken Age was kickstarted, wasn't it?
It was indeed, and pushed back. Well, it was broken into two parts, and both were delayed significantly. You'd think if this was their first game, then okay, yeah, because you never understand. But Double Fine have been releasing games for over 20 years now. How they are still... I mean, pushing it... Because it was set to release late this year, if I remember rightly. It was Q3, Q4, I think, originally. I might be remembering that wrong. But to push it back entirely out of 2018, I think they need to go back to the drawing board of how they plan these things out. Because it's fine that they're delaying the game, because at least it means we're probably not going to get a broken game, but... Stop making promises if you can't keep them.
Yeah, I think I saw an image on going past in my Twitter feed the other day that showed the gaps between the date when the Kickstarter says that something will come out and when it actually released. And I think there was only two out of the like 50-odd games on that list that came out when they said they would. Everything else was delayed way beyond that. So no one's really been on form with it. They've been so inaccurate. Part of the problem is probably the a lot of the incentives that they offer for the higher tiers are often much more work than what they initially think.
And I think it doesn't help sometimes when these games get so much more money than they ask for, because it just invites in feature creep and it just invites in doing so much more stuff than they anticipate. But I didn't think Psychonauts 2 had that. I thought the whole idea of Fig was, no matter what, this is only like half the money we're going to have or something. This game will be made with or without the money you're putting in. This is just going to make it go faster. seems to have made it go slower.
No, I thought that that Fig was basically you're buying a share of the game.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I think that's what I remember from reading about it.
It's been a while since I've read up on the company, I'll admit.
I just typed in fig into Google and I'm just now reading about the common fig. It's an Asian species of flowering plant.
Well, that's not going to fund many video games, is it?
No wonder it's been delayed.
Right, from one game that we're not going to see in 2018 to 12 games that we are going to see in 2018. At least we hope so. We ran the 12 games of Christmas over the holiday season. And what's everyone's opinions on what we selected? There was Wild West Online, We Happy Few, Metal Gear Survive, Conan Exiles, Dauntless, JCB Pioneer Mars, Hellion, Ace Combat 7, Citadel Forged with Fire, A Way Out, Witchfire, and Monster Hunter World.
As I said last week, when we were talking about games we're looking forward to this year, A Way Out. I think it's a really interesting looking concept from a guy who made a really good game, or from a team who made a really good game. I'm looking forward to seeing what it actually turns out to be like.
Why is Citadel on the, if it's already out, why is it on the list?
It's in early access.
Oh, but that's out, isn't it? I mean, like, you can play the game.
But it's not officially out. We'll get to enjoy it in all its glory, bug fixed and all.
By that logic, you can play Metal Gear Survive so long as you're somewhere where Konami's showing it.
By that logic, you can play Star Citizen.
No, I mean, it's like a Ark, you know? Like, although Ark was just released now, you could play Ark for, like, thousands of years before. So that's kind of what I mean. Like, if someone wants to play Citadel in a very, you know, playable state already, they can just buy the game on Steam. We preview the game, so it's... But okay, this is a meaningless conversation. Sorry. But yeah, Citadel Ace Combat 7 looks amazing. I'm really looking forward to that, especially after the VR thing. Playing that game in VR was one of the most amazing experiences I ever had in video games, ever.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Ace Combat 7. I love the series, and I like that it's going back to the slightly quirky, silly version of the history that all the best Ace Combats have, rather than the slightly more dour games we've had.
Oh yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
A game I feel... Sorry, Shadow, go on.
No, I wasn't going to speak, sorry.
A game I feel really, really desperately sorry for that's on this list that I was excited for and am now less so is Dauntless. We're Monster Hunter, but on PC. And I feel sorry for it because Monster Hunter World comes out in the same quarter. It's set to come out at the end of March. And there's no release date for Dauntless, but it's supposed to come out Q2. They're both going to be out on PC, so I don't think there's going to be much. Unless Monster Hunter World is really bad, which I've heard it isn't.
Well, Monster Hunter World you have to pay for. Dauntless is going to be free to play.
Ah, I didn't know that. I feel much less sorry for them now.
And Monster Hunter World isn't released on PC until October, I believe.
Yeah, I know it's towards the end of the year. Because they did a big apology announcement saying, oh, the PC release is later on this year. But that's because we want to focus on the consoles to get that out of the way so we can give the PC all the attention it deserves.
See, our 12 Games of Christmas page doesn't say that. It just says 23rd of March. So I did not know any of this. I'll go sit down now with my outdated and wrong opinions.
But yeah, Dauntless is a lot of fun. For the last time I played it, the state that it was in, it was fun, but a little bit rough around the edges. But by the time it comes out, hopefully, it gets the polish it deserves because the actual mechanics of it and the feel of it is great.
It looks great.
apart from the character models, which look oddly disturbing, but the actual the art style is lovely. Yes, the monsters are great.
And at the end of the day, you're not looking at your player character that much when you're fighting monsters, are you?
No. They're all covered in decent armour, hopefully, at least by the end of your playing time.
I'm curious whether Metal Gear Survive is actually going to be released this year, because it was on our 12 Games of Christmas last year.
Yeah, I'm very curious as to how that actually ends up. Sorry, Catty. It's definitely not going to be a Metal Gear game, but it could still very well be a fun co-op experience. So,
besides Metal Gear, did Konami release any good like co-op multiplayer games?
No.
Pro Evolution Soccer.
He said good.
Yeah, that's what worries me a little bit. Like, Kojima wasn't perfect, but he at least had, you know, the benefit of having one person in charge of the vision. I kind of fear it's going to happen the same thing that happened with Assassin's Creed and, well, Star Wars and all that. Just have, like, random people doing random shit what they think it should be. That worries me a little bit.
Yeah, that's the thing with the Metal Gear brand going forward, is it's no longer Kojima's Metal Gear, so we're just gonna have to take it at face value as whatever they end up as individually, because you're not going to have that slightly deluded craziness that's even as insane as it gets is kind of directed, because at least Kojima understood what he wanted to get from it.
Yeah, Metal Gear is... have always had a message. A multiplayer game where you don't even fight a Metal Gear, one would assume, given that your enemies are zombies.
Good point.
The zombies have created one.
Zombie Metal Gear.
Zombie Gear Rex.
Oh no. And you fight a Zombie Gear Ray.
Now that's worth playing.
I can say they're just going to recreate major cutscene elements from the various games, aren't they? And just stick it in a survival setting.
Right, so a fairly tepid response to our 12 Games of Christmas. So what about the games that were announced today? We had Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered coming to current generation consoles. Dark Souls Remastered coming to... everything, including Switch. Total War Three Kingdoms.
Yes!
Stellaris Apocalypse, the new expansion.
Ooh.
Shopkeep 2, a smaller indie title, but it was announced today. And Outpost Zero, a new game from Tiny Build. As well as several games coming to Switch, because it was a mini Nintendo Direct. The World Ends With You, Final Remix. Kirby Star Allies, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, and Hyrule Warriors. Which of those got your fires burning?
For me personally, The World Ends With You Final Remix is the best announcement from today. Just because that game was absolutely amazing on the DS, and it's nice that they're actually... There's been rumours of something World Ends With You related for a long, long time with their... various pictures cropping up on Square-related Twitter accounts and then ending up not actually being anything or being for a mobile game. So it's nice that fans of the series are being rewarded with something, even though it's a remaster, it is going to have an epilogue section. So people are finally going to probably hopefully get some closure to some of those characters that we kind of love from that game.
I agree, it's pretty much the only game announcement from today that I'm really excited about. Just gives me another reason to actually want to buy a Switch. They keep piling up, and then eventually they'll pile up high enough that I'll be able to afford it. I can buy a Switch with broken dreams, right?
Exactly, that's what I'm buying mine with. the new high-definition visuals look nice, and... I'm curious to how the control scheme is going to adapt to the Switch's touchscreen and or the Joy-Con, depending on how they're going to do both those control schemes. Because it was kind of like a finger breaker. You had to get your fingers into some really weird positions whilst playing the DS version. So that'll be interesting.
Oh, I forgot to add onto my list. Final Fantasy XII: The Zodiac Age is also coming to PC after its PlayStation 4 re-release.
Yes, which I'm also excited about, because my laziness or reluctance to buy a PS4 has paid off, because I knew it would eventually come to PC, just waiting it out. Because Final Fantasy XII is the best Final Fantasy, and it's the most underrated Final Fantasy as well, and it's great. So
I played half an hour of it and never picked it up again.
You're not a true Final Fantasy fan. I'm disowning you now.
Speaking for myself and for Alex, we're both very excited for Total War and Stellaris for different reasons. I look forward for Total War because it's a Total War. Doesn't really need to be more than that to really get me going. But Alex really, really, really likes the setting it explains, the whole China and the Third Kingdom thing, Dynasty Warrior setting. And Stellaris is the other way around. I really, really, really like the idea of being able to, you know, blow up planets and just be a warmongering in space. Something.
Yeah, the whole planet killer weapon type idea is really, really cool. And it's really nice that in the expansions that they seem to be going along the mindset of whatever alien race you can think of, we're giving you ways of playing that.
Yeah, definitely.
It's nice having another option so that now you can be a completely over-the-top xenophobic extremist.
Yeah, that's actually the thing, because I usually play, very, I like co-op games, so I play something that is, quite... I'm not, an exterminator. I don't like to go around and murder people. I actually feel sorry for people when I... I don't like the idea of purging people and all that, except for role-playing. But I think it's more about they giving you the tool to do that. Because even if I'm playing, a peaceful nation and blah, 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 and it's Stellaris games usually take hours to complete, so it's, 50 hours of gameplay, one campaign to end. And in the course of the campaign, shit happens that you can't predict, so the chances of you, being attacked by an empire out of the blue and then conquering a couple of your planets and stuff like that is quite high. And the fact that you can now conquer the planet back, go back to their capital and just glass it into oblivion is something amazing. You don't need to play as a purifier to enjoy that. It can just be an act of revenge, an act of justice or something like that. You can just send your super weapon to crack a planet in half, or just send your fleet in orbit of a capital and just pound it into the smithereens. That is a very cool proposition for a game to allow you to do that.
Yeah, and for Three Kingdoms and the Total War, it's nice. It's surprising that it's taken this long for them to touch that era. It's not many games really have touched the Chinese side of things, so it's really interesting. I mean, the trailer goes for a slightly action-oriented thing, with you seeing various popular characters from that era. So you've got Lu Bu in there as well, I noticed in particular. And it does kind of focus on the general, so I'm curious as to how that plays out in the actual game as well. That seems to be something quite different to what they've done before.
That bothered me a little bit, the way how the generals are literally larger than life. In the trailer? Did you notice that?
Yeah, it definitely seems to err on the Dynasty Warriors slightly, over-the-top side of things. So I'd be curious to see whether that is actually the case, because that would be a bit disappointing if so.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried they're just so blinded by the success of Warhammer that they just decided to make historical and similar.
It's actually quite a good year for Total War fans, though, because we've also got the... Throne of Britannia as well this year, haven't we?
Yeah.
And isn't there Total War Arena?
Yes, I think that is this year as well.
We don't talk about that.
Right, we seem to have run through the podcast a lot faster than anticipated.
I can say a little bit something about Dark Souls Remastered.
Yes, please do.
It's interesting that it's coming to Switch. Probably good that it's coming to Switch. And also, if this game actually runs properly, I might be able to play Dark Souls, because every time I've tried to play Dark Souls with on PC, with or without the mod that makes it actually play like a proper video game, I get to the first area, and like the first big area with all the skeletons and things, describing basically all the Dark Souls, I guess, there. But it just tanks way down to like 5 FPS and becomes completely unplayable. It just seems to be a strange bug with my setup. So it'd be nice if this actually works properly.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. It's supposedly 1080p 30 on Switch in docked mode. And it's up to 4K 60 on everything else. I don't think they've actually gone into much detail about what's actually remastered about it, other than that it'll have enhanced visuals and enhanced multiplayer, so it's up to 6 people now instead of 1 to 4 in an instance.
If it does go up to 60,
Six. Yeah, it's small form PvP. It depends which covenant you pick during play. One of them specifically is PvP focused, and so you can have up to 6 players in an instance instead of the up to 4 that it was before.
I meant on the frame rate. If the frame rate does go up to 60,
sorry.
The original's stuck at 30 because the physics are all tied in. So that's why the mod that takes them up to 60 gives you some interesting physics bugs.
Yeah, I think because doesn't it use Havoc?
Yes. So if this does go up to 60, it possibly means they've either ported all of the stuff over into a new engine or completely rewritten the like underlying part of the game.
Yeah, I get the impression that they're using the Dark Souls 3 engine.
Did that run well? I don't remember.
I don't recall any major issues with it, but I've not really been that involved in Dark Souls, so I don't really know. But I don't remember any big outcry about any major problems.
It might be time for me to get into Dark Souls then, because obviously I didn't bother with 2 and didn't bother with 3 because I never could play 1, and I know they're not in any way connected really, apart from little bits of lore here and there, but I don't know, still just didn't bother with them.
Personally, I can't play the second or third game in a series and then go back to the first. If I did start later in the series, I would never experience the first one, because you've got new abilities and new things. Like Tomb Raider, for instance, the third one, you can shimmy along ledges, and in the first you couldn't. So going from shimmying on ledges to being unable to do it, it's just, I can't accept the step back.
Can you imagine playing Metal Gear Solid 3 and then going back to playing the original? It would make you cry.
Or Metal Gear 5 and playing any of the previous ones.
Exactly, yeah.
I had the same thing with Assassin's Creed. I played Assassin's Creed 2 before I played Assassin's Creed 1.
Oh, no, that's a lie.
Assassin's Creed 1's a good game.
They have the exact same combat system, including animations.
You can't swim
in the first game.
Yes, they do.
They
really, someone who has 90 hours on each of them, they do.
The only difference is
the weapons and the counter with long weapons.
It's not the combat system, it was the movement. Like, Assassin's Creed 1 is sluggish in comparison to Assassin's Creed 2.
They're exactly
Assassin's
the same
Creed
thing.
Assassin's Creed 2 has a much better movement
they
system.
They are literally
like
the same
free
thing.
Free running is better, the climbing's better.
Literally
the
same
game is
thing.
In general more responsive.
It is literally not literally.
No, it is literally the same thing. As in, the same people didn't touch the system. They said so several times in the interview. The approach to Assassin's Creed was, we take everything that worked and we didn't touch that, and we changed everything that didn't. So the free running was the same one. They didn't add any animation. It was the exact same one, because that was important to keep in the whole thing about being the same thread between Desmond, Altair, and Ezio. They're one person, so they all must have the same animation throughout the first game. And the idea was that Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and 3 would be the same. And then eventually the plan fell through. But the combat system is the same. The only thing they changed was they added new weapons. And now you have like heavy weapons and long weapons, which have different animations, combat, and counters. But the sword fight and the knife fight are exactly the same, as is the free climbing. So you can complain about a lot. Like, the camera is a good example that may be sluggish, because in Assassin's Creed 1, the camera was much closer to Altair. And in Assassin's Creed 2, it just pans back. So maybe that gives you an impression that, oh, it's further away and everything moves faster. But it doesn't. It's just one of those like feedback tricks the developers use to make you think something is different.
I mean,
newly updated Anvil game engine, Assassin's Creed 2 began development shortly after the release of Assassin's Creed.
Also, it's a game. Different it's engine. All about like my responses to it are all about how I feel, how it feels to me as a player. So even if the code behind it is exactly the same, if it feels different, then it is different.
Also, you couldn't swim in the first one.
Yeah.
Also, you couldn't swim in the first one.
Also, it's not in Rome, so it's terrible.
Assassin's Creed 2 is also not in Rome. But it is in Italy, and yeah.
Italy? You mean, what do you mean, pedantic jello today? What's the matter with you?
Sorry. I'm grumpy. When I'm grumpy, sorry.
Speaking of Assassin's Creed Rogue coming to Xbox One and PS4.
What a segue. Segue.
It's... I'm surprised it's taken this long. I kind of expected Ubisoft to port it back in the 360 PS3 era.
Yeah, it was when it was released, it was a case of here's the Assassin's Creed for older generation consoles, whilst on the new one you've got Unity, which is much better and specially made for the new systems. But it did feel like since it was later released on PC, it did feel like that they'd port it to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One like a year or so after. Not, well, how many years has it been?
Well, it was ported to PC, it was released March 2015, so it's been nearly 3 years. Well, it will be over 3 years, because I don't know, what was the release date they, or did they announce one? I didn't see.
March 2018.
It'll be 3 years between them releasing it on PC to them finally releasing it on consoles. Why didn't they do this last year?
Yeah, it's a really weird one. I mean, the PC port was pretty good as well. I remember enjoying my time with it. I couldn't actually tell you anything about the story, so that probably tells you all you need to know about it. But I remember mechanically it felt good. It was basically Black Flag 1.5.
I can say something about the story. Shay is an assassin who turns into a Templar.
Spoilers!
It happens early in the game. But I thought it was really interesting seeing it from the Templar's point of view with the assassins are evil because... I kind of wish that another Assassin's Creed would do that as well.
The first one was amazing because of that. The Templars were just people. They weren't like, oh, bad guys. They actually had like very good motives.
Yeah, they just had a different outlook.
Exactly.
And like most things in life, not all things are black and white.
Mm-hmm. And it just whooped your ass with philosophy lessons like all the time. I actually came out of there like a little bit enlightened. But I remember in Rogue, the protagonist kind of pissed me off. The voice. His voice, for some reason, I don't know why. It's not the accent, because I have no problem with... I think he had an Irish accent, and I like that. But it was... I know, the voice actor, for some reason, just kind of pissed me off. The port is not coming to PC, is it? Remaster.
It's already on PC.
The remaster.
I don't think it's a remaster, is it?
Yeah, that's the thing that makes me think, not they're calling it remastered, but with there being no PC there, it makes you wonder whether it's basically going to be a PC port rather than old gen.
A console port of the PC version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That stood out quite clearly on the press release to me. I just like skim it through because I don't really care about Rogue, but I was like, huh. And they don't even mention the PC, they kind of go like... The game launched in Xbox and PS3 on 2014, and then now it's going to be on Xbox One. And I was like, it's interesting.
It wouldn't surprise me if someone just found the like executable file on their computer for this, for the PC version. I was like, have we released this on console? Like, oh, no, we haven't. March. That's good enough.
Free money.
Can you send Steve into the back and just recompile it, please?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know one of the big things of the new console generation, well, new, the current console generation is it's so similar to PC, it's much easier to port things over. I imagine this is just like a B team spent a weekend doing it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I imagine it would be a short port job.
From the trailer, it doesn't look any different to the Steam trailer, like quality-wise.
The press release says, this remaster further enriches the franchise's current gen catalogue, and the game will shine in 4K on PlayStation 4 Pro and Xbox One X, and run 1080p on PS4 and Xbox One. I didn't think Xbox One was capable of 1080p.
It is, but very rarely.
Thanks to the higher resolution, improved environment rendering, visual effects and textures, Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered will offer an even more beautiful and immersive gaming experience that invites fans of the series and new players alike to discover or rediscover Shay's adventures in 18th century North America.
It's the PC version.
To be fair, if Assassin's Creed Rogue didn't run in 1080p on the Xbox One, like the base Xbox One, bear in mind it's a 360 game, 360 PS3 game, what the hell has gone wrong?
And with that question, we draw to a close.
What about all the Switch ports?
Yeah, 90% of the Switch catalogue is ports, isn't it?
It is at this point, yeah. It's a bit worrying. It's cool that Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze and Hyrule Warriors are coming to Switch because they're great games and releasing on the Wii U, they had a really small user base that would probably experience them, so that's cool. But it is also very worrying that the majority of the library, at least at retail, not counting indies, but it does seem like there's an awful lot of ports.
This is probably going to seem like a very obvious question, bearing in mind we're talking about a load of games announced for Switch today, but did that Nintendo Direct happen today?
Yes.
Okay, I did wonder. Was anything announced game-wise other than, like, even
yeah,
just mentioned?
Kirby Star Allies is the only non-remake that I can think of.
I was hoping Nintendo would keep up there. We're going to release a new game, no matter how odd, each month for Switch. So it's pretty much what they've been able to keep up so far since launch.
Yeah, well, they pretty much are keeping up with that, but it's a lot of them are ports. It's like there's nothing in January, but in February it's the Bayonetta 1 and 2 port bundle. And then you've got, I'm not sure when these are coming out, I can't remember what dates were on these, but these ports that were mentioned today, Tropical Freeze and Hyrule Warriors, and there's another new game was the Mario Tennis Aces, I think it was called. But that essentially looks like an improved version of the one. It's not a port, but it looks like it's based on the Wii U Mario Tennis. So even though it's a new game, it's still not a huge effort game.
To be fair, they can just keep releasing Wii U titles because so few people actually played them because so few people actually owned a Wii U and kept buying games for it, so I guess they've got a bit of a back catalogue of semi-recent games that no one's played.
Oh, they've got Super Meat Boy and The Escapist 2 and Pokken Tournament DX releasing on Switch.
Yeah, that's the other port. Pokken Tournament, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's the other port. Tecmo did announce words, Simon. Trying to think of words quickly.
Dynasty Warriors?
I'm just looking at my Twitter because I did actually mention
it. Piers.
SNK announced their tag team beat 'em up, SNK Heroines Tag Team Frenzy, which also looks really, really good. It's an entirely female-focused fighter, so plenty of fan service, but the actual fighting does actually look good. So that's another game that was on the Direct.
Right, I think we're at the end now. Everyone said all that they've got to say.
For now.
For this week.
Yeah.
I'm sure one of us could rile Chalo up some more.
Right, thanks guys for joining me, and thanks to the listeners for listening. Make sure to comment or tweet at us at Greencast, and make sure to check out the great content on GameGrin.com.